The recording has started.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News, a publication for us and by us. And, you know, during this course of time, when people are demonstrating, protesting, standing up, standing in the gap to all of this unrighteousness and racism and everything else that goes along with it. And I just want you to know that the National Black Unity News, we know we stand up, we are standing up as well. We're standing in the gap, and we've been doing this, and we will continue to do this. And tonight we have a special guest with us. And, you know, as last week we had a discussion about protesting, and we was discussing with Mr. Bill Gooden about a local protest. And now we're going to take it a little further down 95 and discuss some other issues on, you know, protesting other brothers and sisters holding down the fort on individual businesses and services, because, like I say, you know, we have to stamp this out by any means necessary. And like I said, there are many battles to be fought, but that's how you win a war, one battle at a time. And so we have, like I say, we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on the front line. And, you know, as always, ladies and gentlemen, we start our podcast off with this, with Brother Satavi Jahi with a reading. And I want to say one thing about my brother Satavi Jahi, who's been on the front line just as long as I have, who have dedicated his life to the services of our people. And I just want to applaud that brother for standing up and standing in the gap. Thank you, brother. And Brother Satavi, it's yours, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. Yes, you know, we have a special guest on tonight from Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, who's been on with us once before. But I'm going to dive into our reading, and then I'm going to bring him up and turn the podcast over to him so he can share with us what they're doing down there in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. All right. As you know, listening audience, each and every time we come on these airwaves, we read from Daily Motivations for African-American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. Great book. Sort of out of date now in terms of the different quotes and stuff he has in there, but usually has some general stuff in there that usually, you know, ties in real good. And so our reading for the day is, get your butt out of the way. Believe in yourself and your abilities. There are lots of other folks who will tell you it can't be done. Jasmine Guy, television star and film star. Reading for the day. Unfortunately, too many people cannot specify what holds them back. All too frequently, they feel there's something, whether it's called hard luck or the system, that binds them to the lives of misery and poverty. Some even boast of what great heights they could reach if only they could sever their cords that bind them. Surely they could change their lives for the better if they could remove the shackles, real or imagined, that chain them to their limited lives. On many occasions, I counsel men and women in various occupations, and I've heard all kinds of stories. Very often people have come to me and say, Dr. Kimbrough, I want to do this, but. Dr. Kimbrough, I would like to have that, but. Dr. Kimbrough, I could become this, but. One day I had got my fill of all of these excuses and reasons for inactivity, and I blurted out, you know, you could be whatever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, and have whatever you want to have if you could just get your butt out of the way. For the most part, we have people that know what they want out of life. Not only do they know what they want, they know how to get it. More of us have concluded that we have the same time, energy, and skill and the opportunity. And the only thing standing in the way of us entering wherever we desire is our big excuse. If you want to achieve more, declare your reason unacceptable, your excuses inexcusable, and then get your butt out of the way. Get rid of the word but. It's the difference between success and failure. And I think that's a very profound, you know, statement and stuff from Dr. Kimbrough, because there's people who say, such as right now, oh, you know, what good does it do to protest? The white folk are still do what they want to do. So I ain't going out there. You know, they had their excuse about, you know, but it ain't going to change anything. And, you know, we're going to hear some things tonight about how the situation down in Rocky Mount is being changed. And had the good pleasure of working with Mr. Smith for several years when I lived in Rocky Mount. And, you know, he always was a noble person. And, you know, leading our people into victorious struggles. I'm really proud of him in terms of what he's doing right now. He even donated some money to them to help with their cause because they got some stuff that they're doing with their boycott and their demonstration that I thought is really good and admirable. And so I'm going to do it at this point. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Nehemiah Smith, and he's going to update us on what they're doing, how they're going about the boycott, and how it's impacting on the store owner, what led to the boycott, and why they feel it was necessary to have this store shut down, because black dollars do matter. And so let's dive right in here. And Mr. Smith, good to have you on again tonight. You was on with us once before. Could you share with our listening audience so they know what led to the boycott of this particular store? What was the store that broke the camel's back?
Okay, glad to be back with you all again here with Unity Network. It's, you know, it's a great opportunity to let brothers and sisters all over the country know exactly what we are doing here in Rocky Mount. There's a Korean gentleman who owns a fish market. It's called Mom's Fish Market and Deli, located on Fairview Road in Rocky Mount. And there have been a number of formal complaints that have been lodged against this man over the years, you know, from disrespect, cursing customers out, I mean, elderly as well as children, throwing food at people, you know, once they get it. And so he has really no respect. But really the straw, I guess, that broke the camel's back was that a lady's daughter went in to get some cocktail sauce. And she had already ordered. She had already had an order, but she forgot the cocktail sauce. And he talked to the young lady so bad that she was in tears. And there was an elderly lady in there, an elder, who was trying to say, wait a minute, you can't talk to this young sister like this. That's not what we're going to do. He cursed that lady. Well, when he cursed that lady was ready to go behind the counter. The girl came outside. The young lady came outside and spoke with her mom. And mom said, what's wrong with you? You know, what's going on? She said, well, the man just talked to me bad, cursed me, what have you. And so the mother was so determined that she started the boycott, I think, like the next day. And she was out there in the rain.
Wow.
Sister had no idea. Sister had no idea about what to do or how to do it. And then I got a call, and they said, Smith said, this is what's going on. I said, I'll be there. And so I've been there ever since. And helping them with some organization and showing them how you go about this. You know, sisters out there, you know, she's upset. I understand you're getting your feelings. She, you know, uses some profanity or whatever. I said, well, you don't have to do that. Let me show you how to do this. And so over the course of about 8 days now, because he's only open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have been able to cut his business from about $5,000 to $6,000 a week at that fish market to about $500 last week. This week he's saying that he's not going to open at all. He can't afford to open at all. But we'll still be out there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So this all started with a comment to a relative, correct?
No, not a relative. It started with a comment to a young lady that I know, her daughter.
Okay.
I know the family. And then so I got a call, and when I got the call, it was my duty to go out. And once I got out there, I saw what was going on. I had experienced some disrespect. I had seen some disrespect from this man myself. And so I showed him how to do it. When I was in college, protesting, different things on campus and stuff, that was the testing ground. what we do now out here, and we called it the good work then. What we do, the good work that we do now is the proving ground. I've already done the testing. I know what to do and how to do it. Now it's the proving ground, and we're able to do that here. And we're going to. It's a sustained effort. You just can't go out there for 2 or 3 days or two or three weeks. You got to go until you know you beat that you beat that animal to the bones to dust. You know, there is no room for compromise. They've already gone through that part, and the talking is over. That's done, and I don't believe in three strikes you're out. That's for baseball, and this is not a game. This is real life.
Right. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So this gentleman, if you don't mind, what ethnicity is he?
He's Korean. He's Korean. Very disrespectful. Been here for probably about 12, 15 years. You know, so that the excuse of language barrier no longer applies. You know where you are. You know what you're doing. You have bought into some narrative that some white man has given you about the subservience of black people, and you believe that you can come into our neighborhoods and treat us any kind of way. We're showing you now that you are badly mistaken, and we are sending a message
exactly.
Not only to him, but we are sending a message to every store in this city. If you disrespect us one time, it's not going to be a time where we say, well, let's sit down and talk about it. I don't want to hear anything you got to say because we've already shown you with this what we mean and that we mean business. So anybody that does it from now on, it's a wrap. We're going to put you out of business. It's just that simple. I'm tired.
Wow.
What we got to do is compromise is the language to quell any movement amongst black people. So we are not going to compromise anymore. We don't have to compromise anymore because we are more valuable and so are our dollars. If our lives are valuable, so too are our dollars. So too are our votes. So
right.
too black, you know, black lives matter, but black matters, period.
It matters, period. And
period.
It goes on a little too long where we see people, and I'm not just putting out any race of people, it's just people getting the idea or the agenda that they can just come over here because of the history that has been produced over hundreds of years of, just that look that we're getting, and people think that they can piggyback off of that. Sometimes people do. And obviously this person got the wrong idea. So unity, standing up and some people think that, well, you know, it's not just you guys. There are other people who like to come here and eat too, but yeah, there might be other people, but we see him here that outweighs the odds, and obviously he can't afford to stay open, so we see what the end result is now.
Yeah, but I think too that, you know, when you look at it, you know, it was heartbreaking to see Brother Floyd lose his life, and then the brother after him, Brother Rashad, to lose his life, but And I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, what I'm about to say.
Go ahead, brother.
It was for us.
It
was for us. It was for black people, a blessing in disguise and the ultimate wake-up call.
Yep.
And because that is true, we have right now, this time will not come our way again. It will not come again in our lifetime. So now we can do more than catch lightning in a bottle. We can catch the whole storm in the bottle. And I believe that we can catch it economically, politically, anything you name that black people have their hands on, we should be able to capture. It is truly the opportunity for the bottom rung to come to the top. And so I believe that there is an awakening that a lot of black people don't see, that they don't even see yet. They don't even recognize just how this awakening. So, I realize it for, you know, I understand it for what it is. I I've been praying for it for the longest. And so now that I see it, I'm going to take the bull by the horns, and I'm going to make sure that whatever black people, and I think that what we have to understand is a different type of movement. It's national, but at the same time, it's local. And so how much change can I effectuate in Minneapolis, being in Rocky Mount, North Carolina? I can write as many letters, I can send as many petitions, I can do all of that, but guess what? I can make the change where I am. and I can make sure that the George Floyds and the Ahmaud Arbors and that type of stuff doesn't happen here. And so if I can effectuate change here, then prayerfully people outside of our community can say, look what they did in Rocky Mount, and we'll duplicate that wherever they are. Whenever I'm on Facebook Live, I'm talking to people about, yes, this is going on in Rocky Mount, but if you have this going on in your community, point it out and put them out of business.
Well, let me say this, brother. I hear you loud and clear, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that this is a special time for us. It's a time for us, you know, to rise up, man, and not only rise up, but, you know, right those wrongs that has been, you know, thrown at us ever since our inception here. And I just want to, man, just say this to you, sir. I do appreciate you, man, for standing up. You know, because, like I say, them sisters, you know, they did what they could. And you know, men, I'm just going to say, I'm not being prejudiced, you know, against women, against men, but men need to take our rightful place back into our community. We need to protect our women and our children. I don't care what type of force come up against them. We have to stand in the gap for them. And I appreciate you, brother, for that. But, you know, you said something very... Because the same thing, you know, like I said, there's many battles. And the same thing's happening here locally. My partner, he was supposed to be coming on in a few minutes, Bill Gooden. He's leading the charge also here in Baltimore with a place called Vince's Crab House. And they've been out there for almost 3 weeks now, standing in front of the man's business. They've been going to court, and now he even suing the company. I mean, the place is now suing the... county leader, what they call them, the executive, and not only did they have a problem, I was going to ask you this. Not only did they have a problem with Vince's Crab House, but the police, Baltimore County Police, have been on the scene ever since. But it seems like they are protecting Vince Crab House more than they're doing the protesters.
Right.
You know, and the protesters, you know, been out there peacefully. First, they was on the ground, then he moved them from the parking lot. Now they're on the sidewalk. Now, you know, they complied with it. But every time, every day, it's a new game change the police come up with. But, you know, we're not like we down, like we don't know anymore. You know, we are very educated, and we know our rules, and we know the regulations and everything else. And so we have some strong brothers and sisters out there who you know, because even the police say they didn't know, you know, the law, because the brothers and sisters were throwing it at them. But nevertheless, the police officers out there allow them, you know, they going in there. Sometimes you even see they even caught some of the police free crabs, you know, and things like that. They took down the numbers. But, you know, but again, when we stand up for our rights, it is one business, and they've been out there faithful. And you said a powerful thing earlier, because you have to stay consistent. And like you said, until they finish, because that's their plan here. They ain't going to leave until they leave. You know,
I didn't tell you that in the beginning, and I planned to come back to that. What we are doing, the police came out. Oh, he called the police. He did this. He did that. Police came out. They didn't even flinch. Police said, hey, there's nothing we can do. As long as you all don't do this, that, and the third, we were doing none of that. It was peaceful. We haven't, you know, thrown any bricks or burned anything or done anything like that. But what we have done is that every Friday and Saturday, we give away free fish, shrimp, fries, hush puppies.
What you sell down there?
We give away free fish, shrimp, fries, hush puppies, coleslaw.
My gas tank.
And see, that's a slap right in his face.
Definitely.
And guess what they did here this Saturday? They gave away free crabs. Right.
Are you serious?
The cars were from blocks long, come and get free crabs. And it
worked. Who gave them away?
The protesters.
Yeah, that's what we did. We do the same thing. And so what we do is, like that Friday, last Friday, we made we cooked fried 6 cases of fish, 2.5 cases of shrimp, 2 cases of fries. The next day we brought in hush puppies and coleslaw. We've been doing that, and we started out with $500. And every day that we have cooked,
he know what I want.
Every day that we have cooked since we have been there, whatever we spend, we get back. We are not charging people anything, but people coming up giving us $40, $50,
$100.
Amen. I'm getting donations from, of course, Movements Unlimited, from Maryland, from Indianapolis, because I brought in my sphere of influence and friends, and they are sending money left and right, $100. My cousin sent me $100. Another guy sent Movements Unlimited sent money. Lorenzo, my guy Lorenzo Baldwin sent money. We've had at least people send at least another $500 or $600. Anytime we deplete the funds always come back to us in donations while we're standing out there. Now, as a matter of fact, what has happened is that they are even, people cash app us, money or whatever, and we take those funds and we put them right back into the community. So what we have done is that we've made what he made in a week, we make that in a day. And I mean, Wednesday we don't even have fish. People come out there and still give us money. And their thing is, I think what had happened was, and I'll explain it at the end. But I think what had happened was is that people were tired of it, but nobody took the lead to get out and really say, okay, enough is enough. When right. The sister sat out there, she didn't know what to do. It would have fizzled out. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but once they told me what it was, I said, let me show these people how to focus their energy towards making this happen. And so got out there. She was like, I'm glad to have you here. What do I need to do? I told the sister, this is how we do it. This is how it's done. I showed her how to approach people when they come up. Excuse me, we are respectfully asking that you not spend your money in mom's fish market in Delhi. More people were apt to come and say, okay, well, what's happening? What's going on? As soon as you tell them what's going on, they get in their cars, they drive off and go away. Now, you have black folk that are working inside the place. The brother's trying to hold on to his job. Ain't making but $200 a week, but he need that little $200. And so he's trying to, hey, man, don't do that, Reverend. Don't do that, man. That didn't happen. This didn't happen. Well, another guy in there that works for us is saying it did happen and put him out of business because he is and has been disrespectful. And so instead of coming out and saying, hey, what did I do? What happened? This guy has taken the hard line and decided that he believes that he can wait it out. But I'm here to tell him that my resolve is greater than his. And I will stand out there if I have to stand out there by myself
right.
for the days. But I know I won't have to because we are engaging young people and they are understanding. You know, I got a little four-year-old soldier come out there. She can't even read the sign she's holding up, but she holds it up, you know. And she won't forget this. You know, she going to realize, hey, I was a part of that. Still, we have brothers and sisters that are still going in, but it's not enough to sustain his business. He's not getting enough business to sustain it. That's why he's closed down for this entire week. But I think he's closed down thinking that we won't be out there. But what he doesn't understand, if he rides by on Wednesday, we're going to be there. Thursday, we're going to be there. Friday, we're going to be there. And Saturday, I'm sure enough going to be there. While everybody else celebrating Independence Day, black folk weren't independent no way, so I'm on the front line. So you know what I'm saying? I'm there. I'm not going anywhere. And after this is over, no matter where it is in the country, if you need me to come, if you need me to come to Baltimore, I'll stand out there in front of the Crab Shack. It don't make me a difference because we got to get this message across. But also what we have been doing is making sure that we send people to alternative restaurants where they can go and get the and get the food, black-owned restaurants. So they've been going to Lily Mae's restaurant. They've been going to Mo and D's. And the next phase, after we put this guy out of business, the next phase is to open up what we are going to call community fish market, the community fish market, where we own the fish market and we give the people the service that they so rightly deserve. And we're going to tell people, this isn't the only initiative as part of this. I sat sister down. I said, what other things do you see in our community? And she said, well, we got this, that, and third. I said, well, another thing you got, they're going to stop selling loose cigarettes. That's going to stop, too. That's illegal. So we're going to stop that
juice
around every, all of these so-called juice stores, not juice stores, these Arab-owned stores, and we're going to tell those brothers, you cannot sell loose cigarettes in here, and you must provide healthy choices, because our goal is to change these places from food deserts to food oases. And so you cannot sell all these chips and all this soda, all this alcohol, and all of that, and offer the people nothing healthy to eat. You got to go. And if you cannot abide by our rules, then you have to leave our community.
Wow.
Well, you know something. Bill Gooden is online with us now. And it's so good that not only, like I said, I'm going to commend both of you, brother, Bill Gooden as well as yourself, because it's almost like talking to the same person. Because, yeah, I mean, y'all using the same tactics. You know, like I say, I was telling them that, you know, they gave away free crabs this past Saturday. This brother here, Brother Smith here, say this date in front of a fish market, and they were out there giving away free fish and food too, you know. And it's very effective. And the same thing is happening there, it's happening here. This man has lost a great deal of his proceeds coming in now. And both of y'all, both, I'm going to let Bill talk in a minute, but both of y'all saying one thing that it seems very consistent, and Bill said it all the time. He said the objective is to close them
down.
His
audio went out. I can't hear the audio.
They say the objective is to close them down. And I hear both of y'all saying the same thing, that you have to stay consistent and you have to finish the race, you know, because you got to be out there every day. You can't slack down, because that's what they're waiting on. They'll wait you out. But it's happening on both ends.
Brother Murphy, I can't hear you.
Okay. I don't know what's going on then. Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear you just fine,
I can't
sir.
Hear you. Yeah,
I can hear you.
Audio is gone completely.
Okay. I don't know what that's about then. Let me see where you at.
No, David. You're good, David. I can hear you.
Okay.
I hear you too.
Okay. Brother Smith, can you speak? Can you hear?
No, I can't hear you.
We can hear you, though. Okay.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can all hear you.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, somebody else say something if he can hear.
Henri Hector, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
No, he can't hear you. That's on your end, sir.
That's you.
Yeah. This is you, because we can hear each other, but, you know. But in any case, Bill, okay, but, you know, we're going to have to keep going, y'all, you know.
I know.
But go ahead, Hector, would you want to say something?
Yeah, just real quick before Mr. Bill Gooden comes on, everybody that's listening on now, if you guys want to have any questions, if you want to make a comment after Bill Gooden is coming on right now, you can call right now at 605-313-4163. When you do that, you'll listen to the prompt. Put in the access code 659975#. Back to Bill Gooden.
Okay, because Bill just coming on. I'm just because Brother Smith cannot hear us, and I'm just going to, like I say, it's almost like deja vu, Bill. They doing pretty much the same thing, and just so happened both of these are seafood places. And both of y'all, you know, like I say, the young lady who started the protest, she really didn't know how, but Brother Smith came to her aid and kind of enlightened them how to protest, you know, properly without getting yourself in trouble.
Right.
And I seen Bill Gooden and them out there too, because a lot of the younger protesters was getting, you know, quite rowdy. Brother Smith, can you hear us now?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, and some of the young folks was out there were getting kind of rowdy, and I seen Bill and them schooling them the ways to protest. And that's why we need leadership when we get out there, somebody with experience. And I appreciate both of you, brothers. And I'm Brother Smith, now that you hear Bill Gooden is on the line, and he's also leading a protest, one of the leaders of a protest here in Baltimore that I was telling you about, the Vicious Crab House. Hey, Bill, Mr. Smith is on the line. I think y'all met each other before. But
yes.
Bill, give them a little highlight what's taking place over there at Vince.
Well, you know, first and foremost, let me just say thank you. But, you know, just to be honest, you know, I went to Vince to support other people that was protesting. Vince is like a subdivision of Baltimore. I'm in Baltimore. I don't eat crab, so I don't go to too many seafood places. But they had this big protest on June 1st. And basically what happened is that this particular business, people been supporting for years. You know, and 75% of his business, by his own submission, comes from black people. But black people never knew how he felt about them until somebody discovered something on his social media page where he been talking about black people for years. I mean, you know, even in terms of the death of Trayvon Martin, he said something in terms of that he wished Zimmerman would get off from the death of Trayvon Martin, and said that, you know, the protesters, these places, they won't burn down or they won't loot the welfare offices. I mean, you know, just saying things to take jabs at black people. So once that became public, then it was this big protest. They probably had 300 or 400 people up there that particular day. So, you know, from there, then you have people that made a commitment that an apology would not be good enough. They want him to be shut down. And even though he tried to offer an apology through social media, his apology was 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Now, that's coincidental, because that's how long it took for George Floyd to get killed by the police.
That's right.
So, you know, so our commitment was that, and like I say, you know, when David pointed me out, it's just that I've been out there for a long time. But my position is, like I say, consistency is what's always going to win. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And I got honestly say, from June 1st up to this point, and he's supposed to have 5 locations. I think 2 of them is not doing business. But the one we've been at every day is his main hub. And I can guarantee you, we have impacted his business 70%. You know, so he's barely doing business and doing everything they can to hold on. In fact, in today's Sun, I don't read our newspaper here, the daily newspaper is the Sun. It's an article in today's paper where this guy that owns the crab house is trying to sue the county executive because he felt that the police hadn't protected them enough from the protesters, and the protesters causing them to lose revenue. So, I mean, it's been an interesting journey. You know, I mean, then you had some people around trying to, you know, throw some stuff in there in terms of trying to create division between the protesters. But we're pretty much solid in terms of, you know, knowing what the mission is, knowing what the goal is. You know, it's not no, I'm the leader of this here group, you know what I'm saying, and that type of stuff, because I just kind of fell in to support the ones that was, you know, support the ones that was out there saying, look, I'm going to stand with y'all, and if the goal is to be here until they shut down, then that's going to be my mission, because that's the main part, you know what I'm saying? I mean, right. You know, you can be effective, but, you know, you can't say, well, after 2 weeks, man, I'm tired. Look, if it take 2 months, if it take 3 months, if it takes 6 months, then I'm saying you have to have the will to continue. And like the brother said, I wasn't on when he first came on, but we've been doing the same thing. We've been trying to direct people to black businesses, and at some point, even if we didn't have enough crab houses, we've been trying to direct people to other businesses that got friendly relationships with black people in terms of that, you know, our goal is that, listen, we're not going to let you disrespect us and make money from us at the same time.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, ultimately we're trying to make sure that we know where all the other black businesses is. And then, like he said, you know, the ultimate goal is that we need to create businesses when people leave. Because, and we talked about this before, David, you know, just like this coronavirus, it's going to be a lot of businesses that can't survive. It's going to be a lot of empty storefronts. Is black people going to be in a position to take some of these storefronts, open some of these businesses up, if it's confectionaries or whatever, and make sure that we now coin the market like we used to years ago, where when we say this is our community, then we can mean it's our community because we're controlling the majority of the businesses in the community.
Correct.
If we don't do that, then we're missing a very grand opportunity with the COVID and everything that's happening right now. is an opportunity for black people to rise up like never before. But if we're afraid to unite with one another, or if we're afraid to come out of our comfort zones, because I do this, I ain't worrying about that. Now, we may have to leave our comfort zone because we have to find some unity for all of us to say, how can we fit in? And what can you look, if you're a business person, what can I do to help you open up this business? Correct. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, that's the goal, you know. So, I mean, we got short-term goals, we got long-term goals, and the ultimate goal is that if God bless us and, you know, it's a world here 20, 30 years from now, then, you know, we don't need to be in the same position 30 years from now than what we find ourselves today.
I agree. The brother is on it. You know, one of the things that I found difficult, you were talking about the young people earlier and dealing with the young people. What I found out, and I had to explain to her because the brother came out, he was talking, he was getting all rowdy and whatever, and he's one of these guys on Facebook. I had to tell him, I said, look, man, I said, I'm not a hashtag revolutionary. I don't believe, I don't do them hashtag. I don't do those hashtag campaigns. I don't sit behind a computer desk and type in all these hashtags and Instagrams. And all. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to be out here on the front line, brother. You got to be out on
gangster.
The front line. And you got to fight the good fight and do the good work. I said that behind the computer, all that's fine. Social
that's
media
right.
has been great. But when it comes down to it, nothing beats being on the front line where it's going down. And so what I found out is that I wanted to come out at first and say, okay, look, we're going to boycott. These cats don't understand that. That's that doesn't, you know, they don't get that. They don't even understand the they don't understand the whole concept of boycott. And so I sat down, I prayed about it, I looked at it, I said, what is it that I'm missing with these young people? And so I was looking at television one night, and I was looking at some of the protests that were going on around the country. And the one thing that kept popping up is that these slogans, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. I said, oh, they slogan driven. I said, okay, so I can throw a slogan out there, get them behind the slogan, and then make sure that I'm there to make sure that they do the work. And so I
right.
went from Black Lives Matter and saying, well, if black lives matter, black dollars matter. And if black dollars matter, black matters, period. Yeah, 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 that's right. Well, guess what? I'm getting the same effect as if I came out there with an older crew and said we're going to boycott. Now everybody understands what needs to be done. You know, you got different ways that you got to approach this thing because you got this generational thing. But I believe that because of everything that's going on around us, that the generational gap will close. The wealth gap will close, but we have to catch the storm in the bottle, not just the lightning, but the whole storm. And so I'm ready, willing, and able to do that. You know, I got cats talking to me, well, I can't believe you're a Baptist minister. Well, believe it, because that's what I am. I'm out here fighting for these people. I'm not running from nobody. I ain't scared of nobody. They hung a noose out here in the park early this morning where they were taking down the Confederate monument in Rocky Mountain. White boys so mad until they go out and hang a noose. What's that noose supposed to do? Is that supposed to scare me? It didn't scare me. What it did though, made me go to the gun shop and get me about 6 cases of ammunition. That's what it made me do that. Yeah,
well,
I did that. I ain't scared of none of them.
There you go.
Well,
you're not going to intimidate me. That old okey doke that you used to pull and throwing out these symbols and. You know, first of all, you're a coward because you did that in the dark at night. Let me tell you something. Anything I do and I want to do, I do it so everybody can see it, so you know who
That's
did
right.
it, when I did it, and how I did it. What about that part? All that crap is over.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Now, I'm going to just say these two last things and shut down because I know time is short. But see, that's why, you know, one thing I always try to tell the protesters every day, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's two sides of history. It's the wrong side, it's the right side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you're on this side, you're on the right side. You know what I'm saying? You have to see how big and how valuable then your stance is later on in life. You know what I'm saying? But the stance you're making today is going to mean a lot later on down the line. And the last thing is this, because sometimes it's like, it's a brother, I like your brother. You know what I'm saying? But He goes on his live feed and he tried to put out his old crazy stuff out in terms of get some division between the protesters, some protesters making money. Look, man, my thing is this. That's bullshit, number one. But number two is this. Listen, we're in a new time. So if people got a Cash App on their phone and if people want to support them, I don't give a shit. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
That's
people
right.
spend that money on whatever they want to. You go to Dunkin' Donuts, you go to casinos or whatever. So if people say, I'm going to send a protester $10, $5, or $20, I don't care, man. That's not no issue. You see what I'm saying?
No.
So, you know, what we can do, we can't let people try to throw little things in trying to create division because they trying to stop what you're doing. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So,
that's
you know,
right.
my whole thing is like, it's like David said, I guess that I'm probably the almost the oldest one out there. But my thing is that, you know, just stay focused and stay on the mission. The mission is to shut him down. You see what I'm saying? So don't let
exactly
nobody complicate things and bring in division between us because at the end, we're unified. You know what I'm saying? We've been there for a month. You know what I'm saying? And brother tried to say, oh, most of the protesters is from Baltimore. No, that's a lie, too. You know, most of the protesters is from Milwaukee. But what difference do it make? What difference do it make if we live in Baltimore, Randallstown, Piceville, whatever? When you go to the military, you ain't worried about where they're sending you. You go all around the world where them folks send you to find somebody. But now you're going to say, well, y'all from Baltimore, y'all shouldn't even be out there in the middle of the room. What kind of stuff is that, man? You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
Wherever black people is fighting for justice and fairness in terms of trying to knock down racism, then it's a fight that's open for all of us. And I always say this, it's wrong for everybody. If you can't be on, if you can't come out and protest, I don't care if you ain't doing nothing making phone calls. I don't care if you ain't doing nothing trying to encourage other people to come. I don't care whatever you do, you know what I'm saying? It's something for everybody to do to always support the masses or the minority that's out there fighting the fight for the masses of us. So, you
that's
know,
right.
my thing is that I don't feed into somebody trying to bring a negative thing. And then I'm going to close with this. You know, protest is always on different levels. Look, man, when people is angry and people wants to curse, look, if that's how you need to curse and get some steam off, I don't care about that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Just stay united. You know what I'm saying? You want to say something back and forth to them people? Hey, I ain't got no problem with that because if they engaging with you, then you're engaging with them. You can't engage with them if they ain't engaging with you. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like you hollering about your own damn self. You hollering at people that's hollering back at you. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get twisted by that. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you try to stop that, then you stop people from being present with you. You know what I'm saying? If that's how you need to do it, then do it. Because I always tell people one thing. Everybody needs to know what the consequences are. You know what I'm saying? If you want to go and throw balls with wonder, then be prepared that you may have to suffer some consequences for the action that you took. As long as you understand that you have your consequences and you're prepared to accept them, whatever comes your way, I'm good with it, man, because, it's, you know, peaceful protest is one thing and violent protest is another. Both of them is meaningful in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they all go meaningful. But what I tell these guys out here in the protest that we're doing, I said, look,
feedback,
I can
fellas,
burn
mind
the
your
down without
ever feedback.
I can break a window without ever throwing a rock. You
That's
know how, once I hold on to that bread and you not getting that bread in there, see, let me tell you what happens. I'm not gonna throw a brick in there and I'm not gonna throw any Molotov cocktail, no fire on it, because I know that if I do that, he's going to get an insurance check. I don't want him to get no money.
Absolutely.
I don't want that sucker to get no money. And so what
Absolutely.
I'm going to do is I'm going to burn it down without ever striking a match. Because the one thing I know, he cannot take a sustained effort of no patronage. He cannot take that. He'll go out of business. And besides, brother, I need the building when he out of there. So that's going to put right back in.
Absolutely. Look. And we got Ricky. Look, Ricky Bond said the same thing as you said every day. Ricky Bond said, look, we're not out here breaking wonders. We're not out here losing. What we're doing is we're breaking bank accounts. And that's our goal, is to break his bank account. You know what I'm saying? His money, he got on Wells Fargo or Bank of America. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, at the same time, man, you know, you have different kind of people that do different things. So, I mean,
Correct.
Our objective is not to loot, burn down. Our objective is basically to shut you down by breaking you and impacting your dollars. And as long as we impact your dollars, you cannot stay open. Now, if somebody come along and we ain't there and they want to do something different, that's on them.
That's on them.
But we know what our purpose is, and we stand fast in terms of our purpose.
Brother, to let you know, we stand here at Rocky Mountain, we stand in solidarity with you there. And if, like I said, you know, make sure that we get up, get my information from Brother Jahi to my live, so that you can see us. I know y'all probably doing a live there too, so
you
can see.
Oh yeah, they doing it.
We're live now.
There because this guy only opens Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so that's when we go out. But still, we watch it every day to make sure he's not trying to pull some okie doke and slipping there at any other time, because we're going to impact this regardless. Now, what has come from this, as I was telling Brother David earlier, is that now you have these Arab brothers out here, they filming, and they going from store to store telling all their people, look, man, you mess with these people, you get put out of business, because this is exactly what they're doing. They thought that we were going to be out there for a couple of days, and then it'd be over with. You know, I'm sure in their mind, niggas will get hungry and want to eat some chicken and fish. They were very badly mistaken, brother. We went and bought the fish. We're cooking at least 6 cases of fish every day that we're out there cooking fish.
Hey, Bill, that's what I was going to say. This is what y'all were doing. They were doing the same thing down there. But guess what else?
Yeah.
You mentioned something, Bill, that's very important, because Brother Smith mentioned it as well. He said because the money that they spend on buying the fish and everything to feed the people for free, the other people are all over the place have been sending them cash apps and stuff so they can keep the thing going. The more money they spend, they keep putting more money in there to support them. And that's why, you know, I've read some of the reports here in Baltimore about, oh, some of these brothers are only trying to make some money and all that kind of stuff. You know, we always going to have, like Harry and Tupman said, they don't want to be free. They want to stay, you know, just the way things are. But it's extremely important that we have to finance whatever we do. Because, like I said, them crabs didn't come free. The fish that y'all give away is not free. Somebody got to pay for that.
Let me see.
Amen.
Absolutely, man. And then, you know, I'm going to just say this. And plus, we're in a different time, man. We're in a time now where technology is something totally, totally different. So, you know, in my opinion, if a person come out there and they're willing to give 8 hours a day in the heat, in the rain, I'm not mad if somebody sent them $100. They deserve it, man. I'm not mad if you send them $1,000. That's your money. You know what I'm saying? So you want to support that individual, that effort, then it's a good thing. That person is sacrificing, not just for themselves. They're sacrificing for the world and for us that's not out there. You know what I'm saying? So ain't no sense to have technology and not take advantage of it.
Amen, brother. Amen, Bill. Yeah.
Wait, Brandon, time, man.
Every war takes money. To have
That's
a war,
right.
It takes money. It takes money for supplies, food, ammunition, water, feed the horses. It takes a lot. What I
That's
heard,
right.
What Israel's protection, every Jew around the world sends money to Israel to finance their military.
You better believe
so,
it.
So if that's the concept that's out there, why shouldn't we be able to employ that?
That's
why
right.
Why should we lack in anything? Are we less than anybody else in this world? I don't think so. Any liberties any other race or community has, we should have the same. We should be able to have the same
resources.
Resources or
ability.
All of that, yeah.
That's right. Because that's right. Just like you said, Mr. Vernon, other countries, they come over here, they make their families here, they do what they have to do here, and they send in money back to support what their agendas are. There shouldn't be any difference. We should not be afraid to embrace a change. But the problem is, especially with us, of color, we think that, you know, we're going to destroy one another like crabs in the pot, knock each other down. We got to get out of that mindset. And I keep saying this time and time and over again. As iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. We got to sharpen one another, re-educate one another. Because let me tell you something. Nope, there's no handouts. We got to help our own self, and that goes through education. taking the time out to help one another. Look, we got to get into a new mindset. Everybody listen at the sound of my voice, we have to support ourselves as a collective, as a group of people coming together and showing that we mean business. We've been oppressed for too long. It's time for us to really come together and recreate the agenda that was once embedded in us a long time ago. And we lost it. And we got to
bring it back. Is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Our foreparents showed us exactly what to do. This boycott stuff, oh man, they gave us the blueprint. If you want to put somebody else out of business, hold on to the money. And if you hold on to it long enough,
That's right. Even
if they try to come back and go into business, they won't be able to do it. Montgomery Bus Company wasn't able to even come back into business after the boycott ended. And that's how you see public transportation now. All those companies were private companies. Bus companies were private companies. And so
at one time, you're right.
All that stuff went to the municipality. So we got an opportunity right now to show these white folk and to show our own people that guess what? We need to go back to the rivers and the lakes that we used to. With COVID-19 and with this civil unrest, I'm trying to tell you right now, we are not going to be able to beg our way out of this situation. First of all, we're going to have to grow our way out of this situation. You're going to have to start growing your own food and everything. So I'm telling these cats, y'all keep playing with these people if you want to. Keep sitting down at the table with them, talking we're going to compromise and we're going to come to a compromise. There's no time for that. We've done that. And you keep doing it over and over and over again.
I agree.
And expecting to get a different result. That's the very definition of insanity.
That's
right. So I'm saying to hell with the white boy. I don't care what he does. But I know what I'm going to do with my people, and I know what I'm going to do for my people.
That's right.
And I'm not angry. No, I'm not angry at all. I'm just going to do what I know needs to be done. And should have been done, right. I don't care about what they do.
But guess what else, gentlemen? You know, Brother Smith, you said this is a perfect storm. Corporate America is crumbling financially. Their major corporations are falling down. And now, because of fear, because of protesting, did you see what corporate America is doing? Putting millions and millions of dollars in the black head because they're scared they're going to come after them. You tell me protesting ain't effective?
Yeah, even that is insulting because now you're saying, I'm going to put $100 million on your pain. I'm going to put $40 million on your pain. There's no amount of money that you can put on what you have done to black people in this country. You didn't pay me the first time, so what makes me think them little crumbs you're trying to throw in my face, I ain't running after that. I'm not going to run after it.
Yeah, but like I say, they're crumbling. But guess what? This is the perfect, like you said, the perfect storm for us to take our place, man. You know,
yes, it is.
Right.
I mean, man, this man, if, like you say, if we don't go through this window of opportunity, I don't think we ever will, man.
But it's also like Brother Smith said, and you know, and again, I keep saying, I'm going to say is I'm done. You know, in regards to what everybody is saying, we need to do right now. Listen, man. If you don't keep the pressure on, you're going to just get a little bit. That's all you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, if you don't stay focused, like you're saying, focused right now with thousands of people in the street, and then you end up with just 10 people in the street, then everything they get, you thought they was giving you, you ain't getting a damn thing, man. You're going to get that much when you think you was getting ready to get that much. You know what I'm saying? So if we can't keep the pressure on out there, then we gotta lose the battle.
This is a lesson. What they're trying to do with the money to give you the okie doke, the sellout.
That's right.
To sell out. To sell your birthright. Because
they protected their behinds too, trying to protect their behinds.
Yeah. Because if you notice any of those organizations, I'm not gonna say the name of it, but what they do is they offer you money. And then you sign your name on the dotted line, and you sign your life over to them.
Yeah, you sold your soul. Yeah.
Yep, you sold your soul for a sellout. But then they get to use you and abuse you and treat your community any kind of way, and you can't say nothing because you took the money. Like my brother, Mr. Smith, was saying. And Bill, you know, take advantage of this time. Don't sell out. Stay consistent. Stay focused. And if, like you said, the boycott showed us the prime example of what unity what we can get from being united. And
that's
there's
right.
nothing America, that they can do about.
America has been exposed all over the world now, exposed for what they truly are. And not just here in this country, all around this world, they looking at these upright, supposed to be so upright, going around trying to police the world, and now they can say their skirt is up and everybody can see straight up it. But again, gentlemen, we ain't got but a few minutes left. But I'm gonna say this, man. Again, I appreciate you, Bill, and I appreciate you, Mr. Smith, because y'all are on the front lines, and I do what I can to support you. I, you know, I'm in the background, like I say, you know, channeling what they're doing. I'm sharing and doing all this other stuff. But it's also, but it takes more than that. But again, you know, each and every one of us on this call right now, man, we have a responsibility not only to ourselves but to our families and to our communities. Those of us who are supposed to be conscious, man, we got to step up, step in. It's serious times, man. Like I say, this window of opportunity is like I say, you know, everybody else, to me, everybody else is crying the blues. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I see nothing but opportunities. I see a chance for them to take back what was rightfully ours. This is where I see it. And I know we can do it, but like I said, it's going to take a collective works. But with that being said, I'm going to go down the line and close them out. I'm going to say Bill and Mr. Smith to last. But Vernon, what are you going to say? Any parting words, sir?
Just want to repeat and just rehash. Don't sell out. Stay focused. Stay on course.
All right. Mr. Murphy, you want to say
anything? Yeah, man. Oh, heck yeah, man. Look, first of all, Bill and Mr. Nehemiah Smith, you guys have blessed me in a way that I had not even expected. I know that you all, you old farts out there doing what y'all supposed to be doing, but at the same time, brothers, I mean this to all extent. I commend what you're doing. And unfortunately, for me, I'm not there with you, and I really mean that in all that I am. But let me say this with you guys, man. You guys are on point. The most important thing about this is persistence. I think about the gun lobby every now and then on how effective they are. Every time there's even a smidgen of an idea, of a concept, of these folks trying to, you know, get something done, some legislative, good, bad, or indifferent, they're there. And so if you want to continue to do what you're doing, that's the only way they're going to get these places shut down so that you guys can move in. And so with that, man, I'm serious as a heart attack, man. I appreciate what you guys are doing, and you have blessed me with your actions. Thank you, man.
All right, Brother Satami Jahi.
Yes, sir. I'm glad that Mr. Smith was able to get on, and I can see again why, you know, I gravitated towards him when I was down in Rocky Mount, and I missed that comradeship, but I was glad I was able to invite him to be on tonight. And I just want to say that we need to remember that there's two sides of history. There's the rising tide of history, that which is coming into being, and that which is going out of being. And the side of history we're on right now is the rising tide, that which is coming into being, black people standing up, speaking up, and doing what they need to do. And then on the other side is that our oppressors, their side of history is dying, it's decaying, it's getting old. They're trying to hold on by any means necessary. And we're trying to run them out of business and run them out of town by any means necessary. So I'm just glad to be a part of this this podcast. And, you know, I'm sharing this with my Blog Talk listening audience. And there's a lot of people that network's able to reach that, you know, are really keeping track of what we're doing. I watch Mr. Nehemiah's live feed as often as I can. And, you know, hey, just keep up the good work, Mr. Smith and Bill. Keep up the good work, man. Y'all doing what y'all need to do, and you got my support financially and morally. As Frederick Douglass said, you know, there must be a struggle. It might be a moral one, it might be a physical one, but there has to be a struggle because power concedes nothing without a demand. And, you know, and all the whole goal of the endurance of the oppressed, of the oppressor or the tyrants, their endurance is trying to be able to ride us out. And so I'm glad we got two gentlemen in the fight that said they're not going to get ridden out. So y'all hold on, keep doing what you got to do, and I'll keep supporting y'all. And hey, Just remember, on the rising tide of history. Good night, everybody.
All right. Mr. Bill Gooden.
Well, you know, first let me just say thank you. But you know, look, Satari says something, because I always say it's two sides of history, too. But I always say it's the right side and the wrong side. You know, and, you know, we happen to be on the right side. But also, since Satari was talking, I just want to say, hey, listen, Satari, thank you, man, because him and his wife did send me a financial donation. I want to thank them tremendously for that. And then last, I just want to say this. Everybody here is on the front line. See, the front line is on lots of different levels, Dave. That's what I was telling you, man. Do you know how important it is to be the news person for the struggle? You know what I'm saying? That's more important than the guy out there with the gun. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody else got the gun is reading what you're reporting and what's happening. You know, Vernon doing the same thing you're doing. Vernon out there with his camera. You know, so, you know, the front line take a lot of different levels, man. You know what I'm saying? And I would like to think everybody on this here call is on the front line. You know what I'm saying? If you're in direct action or if you're not in direct action, all of it is the front line and all of it is needed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to just conclude with this, man. Like I always say, our only problem is our true unity. If we unify ourselves, you know what I'm saying? That's our battle, because all of us never going to do the same thing in terms of in war. That's why when you're in war, you don't have the generals doing what the private do. You don't have the sergeant. You don't have the doctors out on the front line like you do the guy that in infantry. You know what I'm saying? But everybody here is on the front lines. So I just want to thank everybody. You know, I don't want nobody to give me special things, because I ain't doing no more than what nobody else is doing. I like protesting. I like being on the front line. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to say thank everybody.
All right, Mr. Smith.
Well, you know, I appreciate Brother Bill, Brother Gooden, because that's good stuff. That, you know, everybody can't do this. Everybody can't do it, I'm trying to tell you.
Everybody can.
You know, it takes a special kind to get out there and do it. But like you said, everybody plays an integral role in the whole piece. And you know, you know, we out here doing it. I'm like him. I love to be out here on the front line, going back and forth with these jokers, getting out there every day, staying out there all day if I have to. That's my wheelhouse. I love that, helping to organize and getting things together. But I just want to tell everybody just to stay in the fight, and fight until you know. Don't you know? My thing is that you might give out, but don't give up. Always continue to stay in the fight. I've been waiting for this day to come back my way for some time now. And though I'm just 50 years old, but still I'm ready for it. I've been ready for it. I knew that it was coming. I was just praying that it would come in my lifetime. And now that
Pastor
it's here,
Smith.
I'm prepared and ready to go, baby.
Pastor Smith.
All right. I forgot.
Yes.
I forgot. Wait a minute, Mr. Hector. I forgot about you, sir. Now it's your turn.
Mr. Smith, Pastor, yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Pastor Smith, I would like for you to give out your information where people can donate to you and help your cause. This is very important.
Okay. Our cause is the place is Mom's Fish Market in Deli, and so our Cash App is $PopsGotIt, PopsGotIt. Pops Got It. And that's our Cash App, $PopsGotIt. Pops
that's
Got It.
Great.
And
awesome.
So we fighting a good fight. Like I said, I thank you all, Brother Bill. I really, and everybody on here, but Brother Bill, when you're out there, you know, you might get a little weary, little tired, but you're always looking to sharpen, iron sharpens iron. And so, God, brother, you just
that's
gave
right.
me just another boost. You know, to get back out there and redo it. I've been running off the energy of a 4-year-old that comes out to our protest and holds up a sign every time. And she jumping around, can't read the sign. But guess what? She out there. So, you know, I've been feeding off her energy. If she can do it, if a 4-year-old can do it, then surely this 50-year-old can get out there and
that's
get
right.
it.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because
I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Henri Hector, radio personality and motivational speaker from the Henri Hector Show here on the National Black Unity News. Everybody's interested to go on my website. You can go to www.henrihector, that's O-N-R-I-H-E-C-T-O-R.com. Check out my upcoming events if you want me to speak at an event. We can do that. Also, here at the National Black Unity News, we're continuing to give you the knowledge that you need to enhance and the quality of your life. And as I always say, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. Let's continue to be the sharpening tools for one another that we may enhance one another to success. Because at the end of the day, not only does God wants our soul to prosper, he wants us to prosper as well. God bless you.
Okay, gentlemen, like I said, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for this podcast. I'm just going to say this. You know, the reason why I'm pumped is because I'm around some soldiers right now. You know, sometimes a soldier gets weary, but he feels like he's fighting by himself. But when he knows that he got some comrades out there on all different levels, man, it just knows that you ain't out here by yourself. And, man, like I say, let's just do it. You know, like I say, both of you brothers got my support. Matter of fact, all of you brothers on here got my support. But again, I thank each and every one of y'all. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Don't stop until the victory is won. Thank you, gentlemen, and we're going to say good night.
All right, good night, everybody. All right,
brothers. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This
keep up the good work, y'all. Good night.
Yes, sir. Be solid.
Goodbye.
We finished that part of the simulcasting. Now we're going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time. And it is our time.